Welcome back in to the Horseshoe Lounge. It is a glorious day again in Columbus, Ohio. We are at Roosters. It's a fun casual joint. This is the live show. That is Justin Twain, Bobby Carpenter, Bill Landis. I am Austin Ward. Did everybody have a fantastic weekend, Jay-Z?
No.
Oh, okay.
It was just kind of boring.
Really?
Boring. Got the yard mode yesterday.
Yeah.
Did a little bit of that.
That didn't get you juiced?
An eighth grade softball game yesterday afternoon. So that
was what,
one of the nieces, yeah.
Okay, there we go.
So that was a lot of juices brought to the girls' softball game on Sunday afternoon.
You didn't watch Michigan spring game, the Blue and Maize?
I saw a couple clips, but I didn't watch the game, no.
Didn't seem like that was quite as elaborate of an affair as Ohio State had, Bob.
No, I don't think so, but I watched McCarthy put on like 8 rings. I'm not sure the math on the titles of how that worked, but he seemed to have like, it was like Phil Jackson over there when he's putting these things on. But you know what? Good for him. Kudos. I caught a little bit of it. I mean, their quarterback situation's interesting.
Interesting's a word for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's try to keep it above board here, Austin. You know, it's early in the show.
We haven't reached that part of the show yet.
Yeah. Okay. You know, got to see Bruce Springsteen on Sunday night. So the boss was in town, did a great job. It's probably the last time I'll ever see him. So I was pretty excited.
Best concerts
about
I've ever been to at the shot when we were, remember, oh, we yeah, were 06? Freshmen, maybe? Or no, we were young.
Ooh.
I think it was 02.
I don't know if I saw
the winter of 02 he came in.
I didn't see him then. No, I saw him in 06 when he came back around. I heard that 02 was pretty good, though.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like maybe the third or fourth time I've seen him, and he was good. 73, 74, whatever it was, played for 3 hours. Great, and then we've got
only three?
Maybe three and change.
A light evening for him.
Three and change.
He goes hard.
Well, there's no openers. It's just him.
Yeah.
I mean, like, he is the
he's the show.
I mean, he's mid-70s, dude, like on his knees, dancing around. You know, heck, some of his band members are dead. He's playing with their kids. I mean, it's just, it's wild.
Yeah.
So it's pretty good. And then we got, you know, Monday night, Raw, Columbus, Ohio.
Hey, we were just talking about it before the show, yeah.
Yeah, Jax. Pretty exciting.
Come to Roosters and then just go right down the street to the shop.
Boom.
Bill and I will be there. Come say hi. Can't wait.
You going, Jay-Z?
No.
You going, Bob?
Yeah.
Where are your seats?
I was talking to a friend of mine that's getting them taken care of, and I'm he said they're going to be behind Pat now, so pretty excited about that, yeah.
Oh, so you're going to be holding up like the Ohio State championship belt right behind the announced desk?
Apparently. I don't know if I need a costume or what.
Okay.
I'm not sure what.
Break out the spandex. Yeah. Just go in spandex just in case you get caught up.
I see. Bob's got the celebrity seats that pop up on the broadcast, and you'll be involved with Pat.
They
of course.
Well, I'm bringing my
should have known.
Last week when they were in Pittsburgh, Cam Hayward had that seat.
It's Buckeyes only, that's no matter right. where they are.
Well, I mean, Pat, you know, my youngest son wanted to go, and I was like, all right, and one of my buddies, he's really into it, so he was just going to take him. And then my wife said, you know, you should probably go. Pat will go. He's like, AJ might be there, and I don't know if he's going to go or not. I was trying to talk him into it and bringing his boys. And so it's going to be like two younger boys and hanging out, getting after it, watching. It's been a long weekend, though, so it'll be a
– Oh, come on, Bob.
Oh, I'm not drinking tonight, dude.
You're not drinking at
all. I'm positive. Listen, I have a –
The standard is the standard.
It
my
is.
Standard
it
is,
is
the standard.
But my standard is I usually dry out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And I'm going to New Orleans later this week, so – This tonight.
Oh, you're playing in the Zurich Classic this
week? Yeah, they asked me to come down there. So after Raw, I'm going down to play in the Zurich Classic.
Are you living my life? Or
yeah. yeah, I know.
I'm like, what pro is wrestler going on slash professional golfer. Do it all.
What a life.
You know, I mean, I just hope I don't get my uniforms mixed up. That's the only thing. That might be a little confusing for the folks, but yeah.
That's what happened to me at NXT when I wore my quarter zip out there to watch. Yeah. Professional wrestling 2 weeks ago, but
you wore a quarter zip to that.
I did. He's not fine. To WrestleMania, but to stand and deliver. I did.
Okay.
No, it was a classy joint.
Thought it was more of a tank top affair.
Well, I can wear tank tops again, so maybe tonight. I don't know.
Yeah, so, busy week.
Yeah, we don't care about the weekend. We just care about Monday Night Raw. Right,
that's
Bill?
Right. That's right. I'm not wearing a tank top though.
Oh, okay. All right. So spring camp is over. We are going to talk about Ohio State football on this show. Believe it or not. We've had a week to digest what happened in the spring camp and the 14 practices before that. So let's reflect. Bob, let's start with something that surprised you in spring camp for Ohio State.
Something that surprised me. You want good surprises, bad surprises?
Hey, any surprise. Pick your flavor.
Cherry surprise?
Cherry surprise.
Upside down cake? Let's go. I'm going to say positive surprise. How quickly I thought Sonny Styles was able to pick up playing linebacker.
Okay.
And at a pretty high level. Like, I knew he'd be fine in most of the coverage stuff and things because he was doing stuff adjacent to that. But his fits in the box, physicality, I thought was pretty good for a guy that he has the physical tools, but it's just a different set of skills that you've got to hone in. And it's a, kind of akin to, you know, playing point guard to then playing post. Like, you get, yeah, a lot of the game's the same, but there's things that you've got to get good at. And he got good at them pretty quickly. And so I was pretty impressed with his transition. Because that stuff, everyone acts like it's just going to be easy, but it doesn't always go smooth.
So you have a bad surprise that's in your mind, too.
I don't know if there's a bad surprise. I was just curious kind of...
where I wanted you to go?
Yeah. I don't think there was a bad surprise, really.
I have a bad surprise.
Dallin Hayden transferring is probably a bad surprise.
Bing. I was going to say...
But that, boom. You know, not crazy bad.
I was going to say... I was going to include that, and Tony Alford leaving a week into spring camp.
Like, yes.
A couple negative surprises at running back, but then they turned into positives in some ways by the end, not because you have the quick rise, rapid rise of the freshman there with James Peoples and Sam Williams-Dixon, and then also Carlos Lachlan, who I'm really impressed by him just a couple weeks into being on campus. So you had some negatives, but then you turned them into a positive surprise.
Well, coming out of the last game, there seemed to be a lot of negatives, and it started – moving in our direction after that. I'll go good surprise, Jeremiah Smith. No, I'm just kidding. Not much of a surprise. I think the best thing, I feel like, and Bob is better at this because he's at every practice, but getting through healthy. I mean, I think we have a ton of great veteran players, a lot of, you know, younger guys who are getting some experience, but to get through a spring and have all those guys still healthy, we didn't have anybody really go down with anything that's going to go into camp or anything like that. So I think that's a huge part of spring ball, especially when you have a lot of guys come back like we did this year. So getting through it like that is big. You know, the bad surprise, I think, was Hayden leaving. I was looking forward to seeing him play. You know, maybe that's selfishly on me. Just I thought he was really good when he did get his opportunities a couple years ago. And even last year, I was hoping they were going to get him in that game, you know, at times, because I thought he would bring some spark. So
bring some juice.
Yeah, bring, you know, a little juice, a little spark. But so that was a surprise. I mean, not that it's the end of the world. I think we still have a great running back room, but to lose a good player like that, knowing in the last couple of years how many running backs we've been through throughout a season to try and get to the end. But we'll figure that out. And you never know with the portal being open what might happen there.
If he winds up at Colorado, that seems like a strange fit to me.
I wouldn't want to go run behind revamped offensive line. Like, it's not none of the five guys that started last year are starting this year.
That might be a good thing.
Yeah, it could be a good thing. Right.
But that was also the case last year, which turned out to not be.
So it wouldn't be my first choice.
Find our best five. You know, keep looking.
Exactly.
It's easy when you only have five. Yeah. I would say a good surprise for me would be just like maybe not having an appreciation of the depth in the secondary, which I thought was pretty impressive in that spring game. Corner was one thing, but like I actually feel good about safety, and I don't know if maybe people don't feel great about the depth at safety, but like if Lathan Ransom doesn't play and then Malik Hartford doesn't play, and I still don't know what Jahad Carter is going to do for this team, but he didn't play in the spring game, and I still thought the position looked pretty good with some of the young guys out there and obviously Caleb Downs. So it feels to me like they have, like, I don't know, four or five corners they feel really good about, and I think there's reason to feel really good about probably four or five safeties as well. And I'm only talking to two deep safety spots, not even including the nickel position with that. So I think the secondary depth is probably about as good as it's been in my time covering the team. And then I would say maybe I don't know if it's a surprise, but like Ryan Day projected so much confidence about their ability to find answers on the offensive line like before spring ball, that I was willing to give them the benefit of the doubt. I was like, okay, they must like see something here with some of these guys in the winter conditioning. Let's see what this looks like. And then they came out of spring ball with like even less certainty, I feel like, about what they're going to do up front. So I don't know if that's surprising, because I've said that I don't know that they necessarily had to have answers coming out of spring practice, but I thought that they were going to get closer to an answer by the end of spring ball, and it doesn't seem like they're any closer. In fact, it feels like they're a little farther away from having an answer.
Bob, what do you think of that?
I think that on the offensive line, they know they have four.
Right.
Yeah. And it's a function of how those guys kind of move around. And then I think they have a good second tier of players that are developing. I don't know if any of those guys during spring showed enough for you to say, hey, we have a locked-in fifth starter right here and feel good about the situation. So I think that's kind of where that oscillation is. And, you know, it's tough. The guy it's really tough on is Fryer. Mm-hmm. When you're like, hey, you're going to play guard or tackle depending on who else can play one of the other positions.
Yeah, right. Depending on what else we find.
We played you a lot of guard in the spring. You played a lot of tackle last year. You played guard in the past. Just kind of be ready because it may.
You're on the right side. We're just not sure.
Inside or outside. And that's. It's going to be a development. You know, word is Tegger Shibola. You know, he was playing tackle and then he was playing guard. Mm-hmm. You know, Luke Montgomery played tackle last year. Now he's playing guard. I am inclined to believe that Fryer will play tackle and they'll probably try to find a guard. I feel like that's kind of where this thing is trending, but you never know what it can look like in the fall.
If they don't add anybody, I think that's definitely what's going to happen. Yeah. But we'll see. There's nobody really out there in the portal right now that's interesting.
A good surprise outside of spring ball. I mean, we're, what, a week into portaling almost?
Yeah.
And Berm's seven and a half, like taking the over. I mean, I feel pretty good about the fact that there's only two guys that have gotten in. I think one you look at, Cedric Hawkins from Florida, you start looking at him playing corner. It's like, okay, well, all the guys above you are better. The guys that just came in are getting there. And then the other guy in your class is probably better than you too. And it's like, okay, I mean, I get it. It's not, you'd love to have the depth there, but this is where we're at in college football. He looks around like, what's my pathway to the field? Okay. Not only this season, but after.
And for being a week in and only having two.
That's what I'm saying.
That was a good number.
Because usually if you're going to get in, you would want to get in right away.
You already know that you're going to want to be in the portal at that point, right?
Yeah.
But now there were other factors. You have meetings with the position coaches Tuesday and Wednesday.
But that's all happened now,
so you still would have thought by the weekend, maybe something would have happened. Now it still can. There's still a week to go, but it does feel like Ohio State is "quote unquote" ahead of schedule. Maybe that's wanting to be part of a national championship. Maybe it's the strength of the brotherhood, the opportunity. I don't know. It doesn't feel like the Wild West thing. Didn't seem like it's transpired for the portal right now.
It's funny because I was talking to Josh Perry about this on my show, and you know, he had a pretty good point. He's like, you know, you talk about being part of a national championship team, you know, strength of the brotherhood, like those two things being critical when you're on a good team and there's a good group. And I think there's even two other parts of that I would take into account. Is number one, knowing who you recruit, what type of person you're getting.
Yep.
And then the second piece, and this goes even a little bit part and parcel with that, because it starts early and then it stays there, is I think it shows the relationship and the level of honesty that these coaches have with the players so that they have an understanding and not unrealistic expectations of things, because that's really when people get disappointed. It's not when you're not playing. It's when you think you should be. And you're not sure why, or someone told you you would be, and now you're not.
During recruiting, hey, you're going to have all this going on, and all of a sudden,
you're not. We've got really good players here. Mm-hmm. We would like you to be able to play early on, but if you're not ready, like we're not putting you ahead of those guys, and you'll see when you get there.
Yes.
And then keeping an honest dialogue to where, hey, how good were you at practice today? How good was everybody? Like, let's start looking at this, because players can see that.
I think there's another element too, Bill. That's like last Tuesday, everyone said, "Oh, this is it. This is going to be the wildest portal opening of all time." Like, everyone's flooding in there, and it was like the numbers.
So it was like Ghostbusters 2 giant deal. It's, like, yeah. Vigo in the
Vigo's
crazy
in game. There, and you've got the ooze going through the sewers, but that doesn't, like, people got in right away.
Yeah.
And then it kind of petered out almost immediately.
I feel like nationally, like, that's not even.
I haven't heard of anybody.
It's like there have been a couple surprises, like pick up blindsided by a couple defensive players, I think, leaving. And I know, like, Jaden Rashada at Arizona State's a big name, but, like, he also wasn't QB1 there.
Right.
And that's kind of why he left. So it hasn't been what I think people expected it to be. There is another week. I think part of the process is teams kind of figuring out who's leaving before they decide what they want. So maybe like some of that calculus is happening now, and maybe some tampering perhaps might happen over the next week to get some guys to go into the portal. I'm not talking about Ohio State specifically, just sort of generally. But yeah, I think the state to which the floodgates would be opened was grossly overstated at the moment.
I think maybe some guys are learning too a little bit that there are still guys from the last portal that haven't escaped yet from the first window. And I think they're starting to get a little bit now of game plan and the reality of what happens when you get in the portal. Because it's not like going to the promised land with Moses and it's like milk and honey. Like you're escaping the you know, you're in the out in the desert escaping Egypt, wandering in the wilderness, and just let me get to the portal, and it's going to make
it
better.
Nothing but milk and honey when you get there?
False. You get there, it's like, wait a second, nobody else wants me?
Well, damn it. And even if you do find a place to go, it's
there's millions of millions of dollars in playing time.
Bountiful money everywhere. But, yeah. Okay, let's say you even do get it. You have to go learn over the summer. You don't have a practice until August. That's got to be some part of it that people are learning. Like, the winter portal gives you an opportunity to actually play and make an impact.
Austin, I subscribe to the JBD theory.
All right, let me hear it.
Just ball, dog.
Just ball, dog. All right.
Okay, we don't need anything else.
You don't think there's any part of this that guys are getting more mature about the decisions? Like,
there's a lot that goes in. Yeah, I've missed all spring practice. I have to move. I've got to learn my coach. I have nobody on the team. Like, if you're an offensive player, especially a skill guy, who's your quarterback? You've got to develop, like, a rapport with those guys. Offensive line, very tough. Even defense coming in there, like, you're getting airdropped in here at this point in time with just the summer. Yeah, you're older, but it's a little bit just like if you graduated high school and didn't enroll early and got there June 1.
Right.
I mean, it's not an easy thing to do to come in and try and play.
We can't narrow it down to say it's just one part of the decision. That was a good point, Bob. Like, these guys have five or six different things to consider. So if Ohio State has the opportunity to have had honest evaluations, Brotherhood, National Championship, all these other things, like, they don't have to fear late April. Like, I don't think that the worst case scenario arrived.
You have nothing to fear but fear itself.
That may be true. Did you trademark that?
I don't know if I can claim that as an original. Oh, okay. I think someone else.
Michael Scott. He said it a couple years ago.
Well, you know what is trademarked now? Appetizer freeze. Hey. Bob, we got some fried mushrooms.
This is Bill Zwick. Right, it's the Bill Zwick favorite.
Bill Zwick special.
The fried mushroom. Delicious, delicious piece of fungi fried in
a little ranch golden brown. Yeah.
Take them for a swim with it.
You want to get wild and get the spicy ranch. Ooh, even? $3.
You always should.
All
get
day
the spicy
long.
Spicy ranch. Anytime ranch is on the table, it needs to be spicy. Bill taste tested them already, so thumbs
I've
up.
I've had quite a few.
Thumbs up.
None of it's being wasted.
No.
Never will be. So don't worry about that. We're going to take a break. We're going to bring in Berm. We got a lot more to talk about with Ohio State. Maybe he can talk about wrestling too. I don't know.
Maybe Berm can actually defend his portaling position.
Ooh, well, we'll find out.
We'll put him to the test.
Stay tuned.
When we come back to Roosters, which is a fun casual joint.
Roosters has been so fortunate. We just want to be able to give some of that back to the community.
They donate to organizations that are near and dear to their heart, and we're so fortunate to have been with Roosters now for a long time.
They always go above and beyond to help support our foundation to further help veterans.
It's just a wonderful feeling to know that Roosters supports the Buckeye Cruise for Cancer.
All the folks at Roosters are just genuinely kind folks, and they want to make a difference.
Thank you, Roosters Foundation.
Thank you, Roosters.
Thank you, Roosters.
Thank you, Roosters Foundation.
Welcome back into Roosters. It's a fun casual joint, and Berm is here. Bob's got a question for you.
What's the question, Bob?
7.5 over.
What's up with that, Berm?
We're halfway there, Berm. You're hoping for a late push.
He got worried because Berm said 7+.
I want to be very clear about something. That started because someone on the Rivals.com message board said, here's the over-under, what would you say? And I said, maybe over, because we were expecting and hearing from all corners of the world that this spring portal season was going to be nuts.
Crazy.
And I think,
Wild West.
I think that there was some misunderstanding, number one, of people's fundamental intentions or what is happening in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center, number one.
What is happening in there?
They guys are interested and want to win.
Seventh floor crew?
I think that there's also
Moral Tower.
A clear like delineation between the players who've been in the program for a while that are not going to play and have decided, what's the point of going somewhere else and not playing when you can win a national championship?
Not play and win a national title. Banners fly forever.
You know, or the young guys who have decided, hey, there's going to be an opportunity this year with potentially 16 games, 17 games, to play even though I'm not a starter. I know very well that a couple of the coaches, one of the things that they were pushing in this last week was, and this is what you guys were just talking about, what value are you getting by leaving now? Like, if you had left in December, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
But to leave now, you're going to go somewhere where you can't practice, where you don't know the scheme, where you don't know the coaches, and you are going to get there and be behind all the guys that have been there. So why go somewhere else to be behind when you can be here and continue to develop in our building and with a potential
develop here?
Yes, developed here.
What about the dollar bills, y'all?
I mean, I think it's pretty clear that
there are dollar bills in Columbus as well.
Yeah, and I don't know that a lot of these teams, like a lot
Memphis just has 25 million.
Memphis
for guys.
Is a spot where someone, you know, that's new money, right? But a lot of these other programs that people want to go play for
tapped out.
They might have blew their wad in December.
Mm. What does that mean? Blew your
it
wad?
It means they had a wad,
like a wad of cash,
and they yeah. blew it.
You've spent it all.
It's gone.
On one person?
Not all the time.
Okay.
Sometimes you spread
it around.
Here, there.
It just depends.
Could be anywhere.
I still think you can look at the roster and say, here's 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 guys who it would make some sense for them to look elsewhere.
Are you lobbying for these guys now to get
no,
in?
No, I don't care. I'm glad. I like these guys on this
I team. Thought you wanted to be right so bad. You told me you were not calling these guys.
I could care less
you about better it, leave.
Right. Facilitating.
I got the over.
I could care less about being right. I think that it is.
And there is still another week.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things that can happen. So we still hear names of people that are making these decisions, but you know, for the good of the program, I think it's actually a pretty it's a positive sign. Like that is you don't want guys to want to leave. Like that was something that Ryan Day had been really, really proud of over the last few years, is that we don't have a lot of guys leaving this program. People want to play here. They want to stay here. So the guys that do leave, the Cedric Hawkins, like you can understand, he's going to be the fourth or fifth guy in the slot. Like, and he didn't play at all as a true freshman, and he got in here in the summer, and like he was behind, and he's never going to catch up. So a place like Central Florida, close to where you're from Cocoa High School down there in Florida. Like it's going home. It's an opportunity to play at a program that's up and coming, spending a lot of money. Gus Malzahn and the program at Central Florida is doing some good work. Like that makes sense. It makes perfect sense for Dallin Hayden, who's stuck in the middle. Right, exactly. He's behind Trevion and Quinchon, and then you have a lot of people in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center who are super stoked about what they're seeing out of James Peoples, and all of a sudden, like, where do I fit in? Mm-hmm. So it makes perfect sense. There's other players, and again, we don't talk specific names, but if you look at the wide receiver position, there's guys, people are like, what's the role? What's the path here?
Yeah. What's the path here on the field?
And if those are the guys that I think specifically have to make, have been making and have to make a decision. A lot of guys haven't finished classes yet also. Like, that's still going.
Yeah. They're finals still, are this week.
Finals this week.
Early next week, I think, maybe Monday.
Like, we saw Devin Brown at the Elite 11 on Sunday, and he said he's got classes up until Thursday, and then he's going home for 3 weeks, and he'll be back on May 12th, right? So, like, there's still a lot of kids who can make decisions this week, but I think most of them realize doing it before you finish classes is sort of stupid at this point. So if you're going to make that move, which
can you get in the? I mean, you still finish
you can still
your
be
exam.
In
yeah, I mean, it opens up the ability to have conversations, and but then your phone's going crazy, and you're maybe
you're trying to study,
maybe not focused on what you need. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, anything's possible still. But it is those guys. It's the guys lower on the depth chart, the wide receiver position.
I'm going to give you a chance to recant. Ooh.
I don't need to put a new number out there. I didn't really say.
Readjust.
I said, yeah, I think it could be over because that's what.
If you had to put all of your worldly possessions, including your life on
this. This is all I got. Some fried mushrooms. I would say probably 5 still. I mean, okay, I wouldn't be shocked if you still see a few more guys. It makes sense. There are other pieces still coming in, like again, and I'm sticking to wide receiver because it feels like such an obvious position for.
Well, receiver and DB, there's a lot of good players there, good young players, good old players, and if you're a guy who thinks you might be kind of averaging in the middle, it's not
what
a great
place
to be.
Cornerback, receiver is another one you could probably once you learn the route tree, what they
well, they
how
can
they
simplify
like run,
it,
yeah, they
and
can
put
make
you.
It, your wristband say number one, run deep.
Like you still have Mylon Graham. You still have Mylon Graham coming in this summer. Like there's still other things that are going to happen. Those guys. Again,
other forces at
it's
work.
It's the message we've heard over and over. And the guys know, right? The guys in the building know, like they've seen Mylon Graham. He's been working out with them for the last. They know what he's going to be, and so
he looks like a grown man. Have you seen him, Bob?
More so than Jeremiah Smith.
No, Jeremiah looks like a
Hall of Famer.
Transformer.
Comparing him to Jeremiah Smith is unfair. Jeremiah Smith is a unicorn. If he didn't exist on Ohio State's roster. And you only saw Mylon Graham, you'd be like, well, that's the most physically developed true freshman you could possibly have.
If you look back to what Chris Olave looked like as a freshman or Garrett Wilson, like Mylon
Chris
Graham.
Chris was buff.
He was wiry, right? But he was
lean.
Chris was about, his arms looked like this.
So if you compare.
I mean that in the most respectful way possible.
Because Mylon's that type of player.
Yeah.
But he's also well beyond
well endowed.
Chris, he's Chris Olave looking like a junior or senior, which is a good place to be.
Yeah, 100%.
So there's still room there for things to happen, but like I don't think anyone should want guys to leave because again I don't buy into if people leave you have a culture problem BS that people were perpetuating back in December when Ohio State had to lose people. If you wanted to have nine guys come back for the senior years, guys had to go.
Yeah,
that's not the case right now. They don't have to turn over the roster.
I think that's a good point though, Berm. Like Ohio State's already been through this with the guys who didn't see the purge. A role at Ohio State. Like
right, the only thing that's really fundamentally changed is. You've seen now the emergence of the true freshman class and guys that are coming in that are going to push. And you've seen, but every other position, like the offensive line, I think we can reasonably say there's guys there that you can see them moving on. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. But every other position, I don't know that there's really many opportunities to leave. You got wide receivers, you got offensive line, linebacker, you got Cody Simon, and then. Four guys who are all playing for the first time. Like, it's safety. You have Caleb Downs and Lathan Ransom, and then a couple guys that are basically on the field for the first time, Jalen McClain and Jaden Bonsu and Malik Hartford. Like, you don't have a whole lot of depth there. So defensive end, I think, is a spot where people could look at it and say, hey, maybe there was a chance for movement here. But
I think that's the place to easily rotate guys, like, and get them on the field. Right, although you were clamoring against that last year.
No,
it was Austin.
That was 2 years ago.
Less rotation. So you know what? Larry said, I see your less rotation.
I'll give you play zero rotation. Austin said we can't
rotate. He may have overcorrected.
Playing every
I don't know. JT and Jack still made plays at the end of Notre Dame game, and they played every single snap. So whatever.
But you want to maybe get a Kenyatta Jackson on the field. Maybe a Caden Curry.
And Mitchell
Melton. Those three guys got to play.
There's opportunity there. So the question is, if you're a program in Florida and you know one of these kids is from Florida. And
who would want to go to that dumpster fire right now?
I'm saying anywhere in Florida, not necessarily Florida.
You said if
perhaps Tallahassee.
I said if you're a player, if you're a program in Florida, whether it's Florida State, whether it's Miami, whether, again, Central Florida has a lot of money to spend. They are being active. Like, you could see where those
teams come from for Central
Florida. Disney.
Disney's paying for Central
Florida. Central Florida is like the largest school.
It's like 48,000.
No, I know. On campus enrollment, it's the answer to a trivia question all the time, but it doesn't, like, they're not spending that money on athletics.
No, they're trying. Gus Malzahn on doing it.
All right.
But
space race.
You know, I think the question is how willing are guys to listen to. Yeah. There is tampering going on left and right. Everyone knows that. So it's just about. How do you feel coming out of spring? And I think Ohio State made a concerted effort this spring to tell people there's going to be reps. Now, will there be reps? That's the question.
I think they did a good job rotating guys during the spring.
It's easier when you don't have to play guys in the spring.
Well, because Lathan's not playing. You know, he had some time off.
JT and Jack. JT,
we need to see a lot of
those guys. But I think those guys, in doing that, they get better. They get to see what they can do. And so there's a comfortability level that increases as well. I don't know if you guys were wanting to get into that. Did you see the Virginia House bill that they passed?
On Thursday?
Yeah,
I mean, eventually that's going to be the case everywhere, right?
Well, I was just curious. Like, they passed that. I guess, you know, what their intention was, NCAA, figure this out. Like, you're going to have to do something about it. Did you see what this was, JZ, where they can now directly pay
the timing
student-athletes?
The timing was uncanny. So we had the I don't want to call it a celebration of life. It was a celebration of legacy for Gene Smith on Thursday. It was an hour-long chat at the Fawcett Center. Doug LaMaurice hosted it. I mean, that's what it felt like because they had this, like, you know, sign out.
Did they have an easel with his face on it behind
him? Yes, they did.
And
it was like the number 19 and Gene's face inside it. And I was like, I know what you're going for, but like,
he's right here.
I was like, well, maybe we've overdone it a little bit. But anyway. The timing of that, like that happened in the morning, and I don't think Doug maybe brought it up one point with Gene about that. It's like that's the changing landscape. Like there are no rules to any of this stuff, and that's one of the things that we've said is inevitable. Right, schools need to be involved with NIL.
Yeah.
You cannot keep asking the fan base to foot the bill. They're already paying enough to go, like. To go to a game.
Go to the games, buy the jerseys.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Pay for a beer.
Pay
have
for
a hot
cable
dog.
TV.
Like, all of that stuff is already a lot.
YouTube TV's up to like $80.
Yeah. $84.99.
Pay for the cock.
Streaming on the cock. A tax.
You gotta pay for it all.
On the stream. So you can't keep asking, especially if you have a broadcast deal that's going to bring you know, billions of dollars into the Big Ten, you can't be asking fans to do that. So the schools have to take some initiative of that. But then Gene Smith is talking about, well, all the other complications that come into that. There's different labor laws in all 50 states. How can you, are you going to make them employees? That's difficult and almost impossible to do. And you have everyone's favorite thing, federal oversight and federal legislation has to be involved to get this fixed because the NCAA is frankly not going to be able to do it. And they've given up their, they've given up too. There's like, all right.
Well, I think they could do it if they actually crafted a plan that made sense instead of just being retroactive and like, oh, now we're going to allow one-time transfer as many times as you want. Well, that was going on anyway because the court said it was going to happen.
Yeah, the court's already prevented you from
stopping. The problem is you need some sort of...
You can't have sports without rules.
Yes.
Like, you can't have competition without rules. You can't have 130 teams playing by 130 different sets of money, by 130 different sets of rules. You can't do that. That's
this isn't numb. There are rules.
It's stupid. Like, it has to be fixed. Someone has to do it.
There are still rules of engagement in numb.
No, not according to Walter Solchek, there weren't.
He's never seen The Big Lebowski.
Oh, gosh, that's terrible. But I
never seen what?
The Big Lebowski.
The Big Lebowski. Oh, tremendous movie. But I would say this.
So the reference was like, whoo,
yeah. Yeah, that's too bad, Austin. You get on that.
It's amazing. I mean,
trailing behind Jay-Z.
Yeah, that's not a good.
That's not a good place for me to be.
It came out 25 years ago.
If that doesn't motivate me, nothing will.
So part of that, though, is there needs to be, and like, this is a big, much bigger discussion, but the NCAA or whoever the governing body is has to have someone to be able to negotiate these with.
Yeah.
And right now, like, you just have a bunch of college players. And I don't know if it's a working group. I don't know if it has to be a union. They said there's different ways they could go about this, but there has to be something on the other side that's like, okay, this is what we want. This is what you want. This is how
I mean, even if you have a almost a house of representatives among college football players, like, yes. If you have a representative from every school that speaks on there, like, I don't know, something has to happen. Bottom line is, this is what Ohio State specifically, while they had been pretty reserved with NIL previous to this offseason, mm-hmm. has been waiting for. Like, this is the lane that Gene Smith has been assuming would come.
Yeah.
And so someone has to start it, and so the state of Virginia did, which is good, and eventually that will become the law of the land. But
because once one state does it,
oh, I can't wait. Choice. I wish I was sitting in the Tennessee state legislature this week as they're trying to craft this policies together.
Well, they'll just copy and paste whatever Virginia
does.
So, I mean,
that's
all you have to do.
By 2026, legal. I'm sure this is how it will be.
2026. No, we might not even be here by then.
Yeah, that's a great point. Great point.
Valid.
They're not in this location because they I think they're rebuilding.
Don't talk about that. We're not supposed to.
They've been talking about it.
Spill those details.
Ah, whatever. I spill details.
Spill the beans.
So, surprised me. What surprised me this spring?
Oh, did you want me to ask you that?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about it. I was surprised at how quickly Ryan Day gave Chip Kelly power.
Carte blanche?
The empowerment.
Maybe
piece.
Chip just took the power.
Possibly, but I think that's exactly
power
why
he just took it.
Power resides where people believe it does.
But I think that's exactly why he was the right choice for being the offense coordinator, which is why back in December I said, I think he's the right guy. And then now the opportunity there. But I think that Chip Kelly has been so refreshing for the guys in that building, but most importantly for Ryan Day. So that's been bigger. I thought there'd be a little pushback, a little bit like, hey, I don't want to give this away. And it seems like he's totally okay with it.
Is it a bad surprise that we don't have a starting quarterback coming out of spring? Or is it just 15 practices, we're letting him get his feet wet?
Isn't that the catch-22 of this? Like, that happens for one of two reasons. It didn't happen last year because both guys were inconsistent and underwhelming. And maybe that's the case now, or maybe it's the case now that they're both
really
playing
good, yeah.
Well, and so you can't choose because they're both doing things well. Does...
Is it even fair to make a decision after 15? I say fair meaning, like, it's not a lot of information.
No, especially when you're playing five quarterbacks, running through them the way that Ohio State was. I think that there's a leaning in the building, but I don't think it's enough to put you...
Yeah, make the call right now.
In a direction. Now, again, that goes back to the transfer portal talk. Like, if Devin Brown, and I'll just use him because obviously...
Don't you put that evil on
him. It's an obvious discussion and everyone's aware of it. Like, if Devin Brown were to say, hey, you know what?
Yeah.
I wanted to know that I was or wasn't the guy, now I'm going to move on. Then you have your answer. But if he's not, if Devin wants to stay and fight, which, again, told me yesterday he's going to be back on May 12th, like, that's
That's it doesn't seem like a kid who's got. Yeah. I mean, everything so, he said.
He's pretty vehement about.
I yeah, like the boats. The boats are on fire.
I like competition. Yeah. So the more guys want to compete, and the more guys are saying, "Hey, f you, I'm not leaving." Like, I think that's great.
Yeah.
Bring it.
You know? It's a real Wolf of Wall Street situation going on like, over there.
That's it, that's when you are winning. When you are winning program, you have to have that. You can't have guys that
got to fight back.
You can't have guys saying, "Oh, I'm not going to play. I'm going to leave." Like that's.
You don't want a bunch of Eeyores?
No, man, that's garbage. Like, you don't...
I think the, Jay-Z, the outside perception is, like, always going to be it's bad if you don't have a starting quarterback in a clear pecking order, but I don't...
Well, I think it makes it worse because inside it's the program, a four-year guy that you brought in to be the guy.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, well, I guess you needed somebody because you told Kyle to leave.
I think it's worse because of the situation last year. If it, if last year hadn't happened the way it
that's
did...
That's why I mean the perception. Yeah. Like, yeah. Because everybody went through this last year, and we would say... Well, we saw good things, and I know that I did, but Devin Brown and Kyle McCord can both take Ohio State where they want to go. Well, Ohio State didn't get there. Yeah. So, clearly I was wrong about that. And if we're sitting here and the four of us saw things from Will Howard and Devin Brown throughout spring that were encouraging for both of them, or even for Lincoln Kienholz, or days with Julian Sand, or the spring game for Aaron Nolan, he said, well, the strength of this room is really... Really
strong.
Healthy.
No, the strength of this room is
the
strong.
Strength is strong. Your whole team's strong.
We strong then.
Strong.
So, we can say that and you can feel good and it doesn't have to come off as well. We're saying it's positive. Well, we don't know. There's still 3 months until they have to get into training camp again, which is to Bob's point. Do you have to name a starter after 15? No. Does Ohio State feel like there's desperation or they made a wrong move with Will Howard or that Devin Brown can't become that? No, they don't feel that. Yeah. So there's not panic in the Woody, but I also understand. Why there might be at the disco.
The disco?
Yeah. Just panic at the disco. It's pop culture. I got to keep throwing it back out there to catch up to
I appreciate that. Yeah.
Although I don't know.
I was trying to wrap my brain on that one.
I can't fall behind with the big one.
And I chimed in.
You did.
Haven't you people ever heard of Tavian St. Clair?
Yeah. Who's he?
What'd you think about him on Sunday?
That's right. They had the
Fontaine.
I'm surprised you weren't there.
It was at all your high school. I know. I forgot about it. They wanted volunteers to do
what
stuff.
What a freaking campus. My goodness.
Where you at? Yeah. Up Arlington?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Wow.
I walked into a basketball game there this year. No wonder it was more.
That was
like
wild.
$10 to get into a JV game.
Recital to go to there. The auditorium is like 1,000 seats.
Yeah, what an incredible school.
Must be nice.
I'm going to say this.
What do you mean? People say it must be nice as if like it's free.
Yeah. You have an indoor city school.
Ours is city school too.
Well, different kind of city.
Tavian St. Clair is the Ohio State 2025 quarterback commitment from Belle Fountain, Ohio. Landed his invitation to the Elite 11 finals on Sunday. Not surprising that he was picked. I mean, a lot of these things are political.
I think they
political.
Already had the invitation made.
Yeah, a lot of these things are political. And
Green
so
jacket was already
the highest. Yeah, the highest ranked
was right on. Was just a little bit longer.
The highest ranked guy, like the Ohio State commit, like it's almost always certainly that he's going to earn that invitation. But and Bill and I talked with him on the podcast daily this morning. He absolutely deserved it. Like the kid is, he was unbelievable on Sunday. Just. What they have them doing, obviously, it's not real.
Are these guys, you're telling me the start of this year is just a placeholder?
I'm telling you, I'm going to say this, and it's going to come across as me hyperbolizing, and maybe I am.
Better than Julian and Aaron Nolan combined.
I think if I'm ranking like just as their Ohio State prospect, right? Like Justin Fields would still be my top quarterback prospect I've ever seen.
Okay,
because he was running a 4.4 and. 6 foot two and a half and 215 and 220 rocket arm. Yeah.
He did turn out pretty good,
and I think Tavian St. Clair is right after him.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
As far as the combination of traits, he's almost,
now hold on
6 foot five, almost now 228 pounds.
He's a big dude.
He
moves well too.
Throws the ball extremely well. Throws it with like touch. Throws it with power. Can. To hit all three levels on the defense, like he is, and he moves well. He's not like a 4.4 guy like Justin Fields, but by the time he finishes Ohio State career, he'll be a 4.6 guy at 6.
JT Barrett running.
He's as if you combined Terrell Pryor with not CJ. CJ as a passer is just insane. Maybe
Dwayne?
Like Cardale.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Like, I think you're getting into the ballpark, and he's...
Well, Terrell was also, like,
Terrell was 4-4. A freak. Yeah, Terrell's a freak.
Sounds like we have a mashup of JT and Cardale.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's...
So like Terrell's size. No, but you're trying.
It's Terrell's size, yeah. And he's going to only continue to get faster and all the things that come with working in Ohio State. The best thing is, though, Tavian has been here, like, every day for the last 2 months, and it the opportunity that he has, and this is why he wanted to commit early, was because he knew... He has an opportunity no Ohio State quarterback commit has had, which is I can be on campus all the time. I can be there learning all the time. He's totally enamored with Chip Kelly, has bought in. Like the guys, Devin and Air were there to see him yesterday.
I heard they had Ryan allowed him to interview Chip for the job.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
Just like the running backs here, the running back coach.
No, but
that's the new approach.
I really do. Like I would have him ahead of CJ as a prospect.
I was going to ask because you, when we went to Rancho Cucamonga, you
CJ throwing the ball
watched him and you said he was going to.
Sounds like a made up school.
I thought we were going to a made up.
It looks made up too. Like when you talk about Upper Arlington,
it looks like a film. You're at She's All That.
It's like it's that's one of those
that's
schools.
What it looks like
there's places and I'd always see like 10 things I hate about you. See, so where are these schools that are like
that's Rancho exactly Cucamonga. What it looks like? And then you're because there's the mountain behind it. And then you had the kids on his team who were out there like for their walkthrough the day before a playoff game in like jeans and flip flops. I'm like, this is not a real place. And that's where
a lot of bromans out there.
We watched CJ, and you could see like as a passer, he was always different. Yeah. Tavian is extremely natural. Like he's a former baseball player. He was throwing almost 90.
His dad played baseball at Ohio State.
He was throwing almost 90 miles an hour as a freshman in high school. Like his ability to just throw the ball is very natural. It's not manufactured. It's not someone who looks like he doesn't. It's not clunky. Like this is a kid who's a natural thrower at that size. And I would have him right below Justin as far as what I've seen. Like the clay is pretty incredible.
He likes what he sees.
I can't handle you, bro.
The clay got a mold. Now you just have to sculpt it.
Yeah, the clay is incredible.
Wait, and in this scenario,
you and Patrick Swayze
is yes. Who is Swayze and who is Demi? Who is Whoopi? Chip, Austin,
Berm,
Ryan. Who's making? Who's what's the plot?
Who's coming out of the top? Holding. Who's holding
the hands? I just watch, bro.
Who is the one on the Potter wheel?
I'm just saying. If you put, he's ahead of Dwayne. He's ahead of CJ.
$3. These are fried mushrooms tomorrow.
People, I know it's weird to get like that worked up about a kid who's not going to.
You know what Berm's trying to say is, don't worry about this year. Yes. Tune in 2025 to the podcast.
What I'm saying is the quarterback situation with Julian Sain and Aaron Noland and
let them all leave.
St. Clair coming.
Like, yeah, Tavian.
It's still going to be pretty darn good. Tavian.
Yes. Tavian. I always want to call him Austin St. Clair. I don't know
and he's
why.
Such a great kid, too. Like,
oh, he's really nice.
He's
I met him.
Extremely humble. Like, he does not have the I'm a big-time quarterback, like,
when
attitude.
He came to camp last summer, I thought that he might be starting to – the swag was he's, on 10.
No, the swag's on 10 all the time. Okay. Like, he
swag on 10?
He's not like a – he's confident. And that is because he's completely – changed who he is in the last 2 years as far as going from a 6'3", 175-pound freshman to now a 6'5", 230.
I wasn't that impressed with him when I first saw him, but then I realized he was only 15.
Yeah.
And like usually when you're seeing guys, you're seeing him at like 17. Like, God, he's kind of skinny. Like, he's only 15. Like,
earlier than
okay,
ever.
Yeah. Well, let me see him in 2 years. And then he put like 25, 30 pounds on, and now he looks like a dude.
He's, I mean, he looks like Will Howard. Like, if you stack up, I mean, we've talked about how Will Howard, when he walked in the first time, you're like, it's a big old boy. Like, Tavian, Tavian looks more college ready physically than anybody on the roster right now, except for Will Howard. And he might be the best passer of that group, except for maybe Julian Sain.
Ooh.
Well,
that's a long tease right there.
So just remember,
if it's not if it's not hyperbole, look out. And if it is, who cares?
he may end up being the number one ranked quarterback in this class, and which is crazy considering a year ago he was not ranked.
Where's the Elite 11? Is it in L.A. again?
L.A., June 18th through the 20th.
But you know what is elite is these fried mushrooms that are $3 all day long. Appetizer Thursday at Roosters. On. Boom. Be here. Be there, be square.
$1, $2, $3. Fried mushrooms, appetizer Thursday. Don't miss it. Hey, thanks for joining us on another Monday at Roosters. We appreciate Nicole Cox and her whole team for having us out here. Thanks to Bill Landis, Justin Zwick, Bobby Carpenter, and Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Warbley, back in here next Monday. See you then.